make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
He takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Again, it was one game, and we have six more to go. There's a lot still out in front of us. I'm confident our guys will respond. We have a very close team, and these guys will continue to fight for each other and compete. Feel confident we'll bounce back. We can only control what we can control from here going forward, and it's Steeler week. So we'll be getting ready for that and a big challenge with them.
All right, we're calling this a therapy, Monday, and that is exactly what it is. The Browns losing 41-20, a very, very, very disappointing loss at Cincinnati. A lot of high hopes that we had for this game and for this team and the situation they were in, but they come out of this with a loss. They would have needed to play, and from here on out, they need to play perfect or certainly near perfect football to have any hope whatsoever of remaining relevant through the rest of the season. But what they are is a team that has won now only one of its last five games, and they couldn't have been as far from perfect as they were yesterday. An extremely sloppy game in so many ways, especially in the area of special teams. I think that was the biggest disappointment because that had not been a place where this team had faltered as much as it did yesterday, and that took things apart. Jason Campbell struggling in every way imaginable, not looking like the guy who had played two very solid, one really strong game before that. He gave two strong efforts, followed it up with a serious clunker in Cincinnati. And there were just any number of ways. Give the Bengals credit for coaching, especially Mike Zimmer, the work they did in coverage. They did an outstanding job defensively, and that was too much for the Browns to handle. So the Browns find themselves in this situation. You heard from Coach Rob Chudzinski. You'll hear from him on our show at about 2 p.m. We're going to get the roundtable together. Doug Deacon and Tom Withers from the Associated Press will discuss this game more in detail. And, of course, my partner, my buddy, my good friend in Therapy Monday here, Nathan Zagura. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, I'm obviously disappointed with the outcome of this game. I'm very disappointed with the way that the game turned out. And if you had told me, what did I say that the Browns needed to do? They needed to pressure Andy Dalton into being bad Andy Dalton. They needed to get off the field on third downs. If you were going to tell me that in this game, the Cincinnati Bengals would have 224 total yards, they'd average 3.8 yards a play, Andy Dalton would throw for 93 yards, 3.4 yards per attempt, throw two interceptions, including a pick six, the Browns would be successful defensively on 13 out of 14 third downs. The Bengals converted 1 out of 14 third downs. None of this says they should have scored 41 points. Not one of it. The Browns gave this game away. The Bengals did not have a drive over 53 yards all day. They had one drive over 40 yards all day. The Browns gave this game away. Interceptions in their own. To me, that was one of the biggest turning points in this game. You go up 13 to nothing. You hold them three and out. You get the ball back. The first play is picked off. They go on to score. Then you get the block punt. They go on to score. Then you get another block punt return for a touchdown. Follow that up by a fumble return for a touchdown. And you look up and the Bengals have scored 31 unanswered points in the third quarter. And the game is over. The Browns had this game. They were in the driver's seat of this game. And they gave this game away with poor execution, and we wondered how would the execution be. We knew that they were prepared, but how would they execute in the biggest of moments on the biggest of stage for this team? And right now the answer was not good enough.
Yeah, I think what this game shows, well, first of all, I'll dispute that they had this game. You don't have a game that you lose 41-20. I think they had a portion of some momentum. And when they did not cash in on the first interception with a touchdown, when they settled for a field goal there, Nathan, that was a horrible sign of things to come. That told me in the press box, this is not going to be a good day for the Browns, and it wasn't. This game also proved that all those wonderful numbers, and your numbers make great sense in terms of explaining why you would have said that that would have told the story of a victory, that those numbers can be misleading, and they're extremely misleading because football is a complete game in so many ways that numbers can't measure certain things. And what numbers can't measure is when a team just doesn't have it, just isn't totally ready as a team to do what this team had to do and step up to the challenge of playing its best football on the road and finishing a job that was started and competing all the way through. They're not good enough for that. And that's what this game reminded us of. The Browns aren't ready for this level of prime time. They just aren't. And the only reason they're in the hunt, if we can loosely call it that, is because it's not a really good AFC, and it's an especially bad, I should say, AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals lost back-to-back overtime games. That's the only reason the Browns had a sniff at this based on their performance, a three-game losing streak followed by one big win over Baltimore. And I think a lot of us got taken by the fact that they broke that 11-game losing streak to the Ravens. We got taken by Jason Campbell's three touchdown passes and the toughness of overcoming that rib injury that he had, the bruised ribs that he had. And most of that was skewed by the fact that he was not Brandon Whedon, that the feeling was there was a sense of an arrival of a messiah here because Brandon Whedon was out, and this guy who looked a lot better than Whedon, just as Brian Hoyer did, was in. And we even had the questions, and you and I answered them the same way. Yes, they're still going to get a quarterback in May, despite what Campbell was doing, despite Hoyer's recovery. But there was, I think, some questions about whether the quarterback conversation was turning in an entirely different way because of Campbell's performance. We were reminded yesterday that this team still, excuse me, has a great need for a competent, consistently competent, dominant, difference-making kind of quarterback, the kind that gets you, you know, and gives you chances to win and win championships. I think the Browns' defense remains the only legit part of this team, and it did some good things yesterday. It also did some things that were a little frustrating, too, very frustrating. When you got a receiver making swatting defenders away like flies on the sideline, and they're trying to get the ball out of his hand and not just get him out of bounds and prevent a touchdown that he's able to score. Barkevious Mingo in coverage, needing to turn around. And you can dispute, was that a catch or not on the roll? But they didn't get the call on that. So make the play, make the play, make the play. And then we know about the special teams breakdowns and Campbell's day. It was just, the word is disappointing, but it's based on a level of expectation. You and I picked the Browns to win. I thought it would be a real close, tough type of game for them to win. And had they played perfect football yesterday, that probably would have come down to what we thought it would be, maybe a field goal game.
Had they played decent football, I didn't come away from this game thinking the Cincinnati Bengals are any good. The Cincinnati Bengals aren't good. That's why they lost. I was more convinced that the Browns could win this game because of where I thought Cincinnati was, and they did nothing to dispel my notions of where I feel they are. I feel that the Browns grossly underperformed the level that they're capable of playing, and that's the difference. The Browns are not good enough, and I would say that very few teams in the NFL, if any, are good enough to just spot a team 14 points and to spot a team two touchdown drives that start from inside their own 40 in one quarter. They did that in one quarter. You can't do that in the National Football League. It is impossible to win under those circumstances. But I didn't come away from this thinking that, oh, the Cincinnati Bengals are so much better than the Cleveland Browns. Not by a long shot. I remain completely, thoroughly, 100% unimpressed with Andy Dalton as a quarterback. I don't think they did a whole lot on the ground. They ran an average game there. But the defense of the Cleveland Browns, I thought, played well. They were put in some horrendous situations. You can single out individual plays that maybe they could have executed better on, but I think the special teams gaffes, the offensive gaffes in terms of three interceptions and a fumble return for a touchdown, you can't overcome that in the National Football League, and that's why the Browns lost. The Browns did more to beat themselves than the Cincinnati Bengals did in this game, and I am very much looking forward to whoever goes into Cincinnati if they do end up holding onto the division and waxing them in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a bad division. That's what we
it's horrific.
That's what we know now, and I guess we've known it all along. Again, there is really a skewed sense of the Browns being in something and relevant here. And I want to give them credit for that, but it has a lot more to do with what's around them that doesn't play well. And that would be the Bengals, and that would be the Ravens, and of course the Steelers. And now the Steelers seem to be making their move. The Steelers looked a lot more like you expect the Steelers to look in knocking off Detroit yesterday, and that is not an encouraging thought that that team is coming to town this week, and I don't think they're coming to town like the Steelers that we saw go 0-4. We got a whole week to talk about that, to go into that conversation. But if you really want to get discouraged, think about what's coming to town to face this Browns team that, again, teeters on, does it really have anything in the way of traction on offense? And the answer right now has to be no. We saw some promising things, but we saw many, many discouraging things. Still can't run the ball effectively. Yeah, you had the nice Chris Obanaya run there, but it's still an issue. And overall, there are pieces. I wrote this for ClevelandBrowns.com. There are pieces that need to be put in place to this puzzle that they're trying to build here of a championship contender. And those pieces include quarterback. They include wide receiver. They include offensive line. They include tight end. I mean, there's a lot of offensive pieces that just need to be addressed and enhanced in some form. And you could maybe talk about the kicking game, the punting game. It was protection more than it probably was Spencer Lanning, but Spencer Lanning as a punter, you know, as a guy who functions as a punter, is that good enough? Do they get good enough consistency there? And I don't know about that. And there's no return game now that Travis Benjamin's hurt. We knew that would hurt them, but I think we're doubly reminded that on a day like yesterday, wouldn't it have been great if you could have gotten one of those bust-out plays by a Travis Benjamin, because you needed something goofy to help offset the goofiness of what put you in the hole that you were in and couldn't escape from?
There's no question about it. I don't think it's as bleak as you. You're pretty fired up today, so I don't think it's as bleak.
I'm just seeing it as I see it.
I don't think it's as bleak as you're making it out to be. That's just my opinion. I think that there are certainly things that need to be addressed.
I mean, define what you're saying. You're saying there's still like a contending irrelevant team going forward. You see the Browns no differently today than you saw them yesterday. Is that what you're basically saying?
In terms of being able to make it in the wild card, the AFC is weak this year. There's absolutely
so you're feeling good. Okay,
I'm not saying I feel good with that
because I don't feel it. I just don't feel it, Nathan. I was there. I watched it. I studied it. I can't begin to tell you that there's something that gives me encouragement that you're somehow seeing. And as much as I don't view the Bengals as anything good. I don't see anything in the AFC North that makes me feel like you can't win it. But that's probably even more reason for frustration. The Bengals are going to likely win this division because there isn't anyone, including the Browns, that has what it takes to compete with them.
Right.
That's sad.
This is my point. Sad. My point is that right now, the team that would be the wild card in the AFC is 5-5. The Browns are 4-6. That's all I'm talking about. So there is still the possibility to get into the wild card. That's all I'm saying. I just think that when I watched that game, there were a lot of things that were done well. A.J. Green had 7 yards in that game, in a game where the Bengals scored 41 points.
No doubt Joe Hayden was the man. Joe Hayden, by the way, I mean, he can book the trip. He's going to Pro Bowl.
There's
he's going
no
to
question.
Honolulu. That was an awesome performance. And there's a guy I felt bad for, because what he did should have been, we would be, nationally, everybody would be raving even more about it than they already are, because it was part of a victory. That was hard to take for him. And the whole defense.
I honestly think that this was a very good defensive effort. When you look at the fact that they had 18 drives, did the Cincinnati Bengals, and only 3 of them produced more than 22 yards, and all the others were, 4 of them were 9 yards or less. I mean, all of them but 4 were 9 yards or less. They did a great job defensively against this team. They did not let them go anywhere. They were 1 of 14 on third downs. There are things to be excited about. The Cleveland Browns gave this game away with horrible execution and special teams, with unbelievably bad turnovers. They gave this game away. The defense did a lot of good things. I was pleased with a lot of the things I saw from the defense in this game, but it is a team game. And the Browns had one phase of their unit perform at a level necessary to win. 2 of the other 3 got Fs.
Yeah. See, what I can't – the analysis there sounds to me a little like Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play? And that's where I don't want to go with this, is that you can say, because that's, it's always a team game. It's never compartmentalized. Sure. And you can zero in on how good it was in this step. So if the defense was so good and you still
lose. So what do you want me to say? What do you want
I don't want you. I want you to stay true to what you say and your observation.
This is horrible. Like, why are we even doing the show? Why is anybody watching the Browns?
I did more than 2 years of the show with 9 wins over 2 seasons. The show goes on. This is Broadway or whatever they say. The show continues, and we got to do this year round, by the way.
We're going to, and I look forward to it.
Exactly. So no, I didn't say, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is understand,
this was a monumental disappointment. This was a monumental disappointment.
This is not a message from me to you. This is my sense of where we are. And my sense of where we are as a team, looking at this team, is that we probably, all of us, should have managed expectations a little better coming off the Baltimore game. I think that was a little bit of a mirage to see where this team was. Because Baltimore's not very good, as we know. And I do.
Neither won the game.
Nor is Cincinnati, but the Browns in the mix of it, because you lose in the fashion you lost that game, you can't take that away. You can't say, but they were great here and they were great here, but man, they were bad there and that's why they lost. But that's football. That's
totally
the game. You have to be near. I maintain perfect or near perfect means everything, everybody. Especially the quarterback. And when you can point to, if the list of problems just stopped at Jason Campbell yesterday, if it just stopped there, that's big enough to say you're not going to see this team do much of anything in the near future. And we're back to saying the hope is when they get those pieces together next year. That's all I agree.
And just remember, they went with Hoyer over Jason Campbell earlier in the season. Campbell, we talked about it. I said he had never had a 3-game stretch where he threw multiple touchdowns without 3 or more interceptions in his entire career. We were looking for Jason Campbell in his 9th season in the NFL to do something that he had never done before in this game against Cincinnati. And if you remember when I predicted the game, I predicted 2 turnovers for the Cleveland Browns. I thought they would win 23-20, they'd get 2 turnovers, they'd give away 2 turnovers. Instead, they gave away 4, and 2 of those resulted in touchdowns, 2 of them resulted in incredibly short fields and other scores. So off the turnovers, they led basically directly to 28 points. You can't win that way in the NFL. It's impossible to do so. It is impossible to do so.
We're not on that different pages. I'm not even suggesting that. Maybe tomorrow it'll change. Today I'm not as willing.
I'm very disappointed.
Me too, because we did sit here on Friday and on Call Your Shot Friday and called this shot a win. And it was based on multiple things, including the fact that we didn't see the Bengals as being any kind of an overwhelming opponent. But I'm going to give the Bengals some credit here.
They found a way to win.
Exactly. When you have as many problems as they have in all those categories you broke down so well statistically that tell a story about how a team
should have
lost, or how the Browns should have won, or how they should have lost, they found the way to win, and they did some things to do that. And they did it in execution, and they also did it in some coaching, and the Browns did a whole lot of it in ineptitude in certain areas.
And the point you make there is very, very valid. And listen to this. Because you look at who did it for the Bengals. A.J. Green, non-factor. Jermaine Gresham scores a touchdown. He really hasn't done much all year. Mohamed Sanu catches his first touchdown of the season. Alex Smith, who has not even played this season, catches
former
a
Brown
touchdown. They get the block punt return by Tony Dye. Who exactly? Vontaze Burfict, who's had a great season at the fumble return. But my point is, other people stepped up all over. And if you go down the Browns highlights here, you have Joe Hayden, 29-yard interception return, Josh Gordon, 74-yard touchdown catch. That's it. So two guys who you expect to play well played well. And people can take issue. I think Josh Gordon, I want him to lose some of the Randy Moss in his game. Some of the routes are not as complete as they should be. The guy is, though, without question,
our
best offensive
and
player.
There's
no question.
And we'll get into this as we get into layers, go through the layers in the course of the show. But another thing on my list of disappointments is, once again, Jordan Cameron, where are you? And in with regard to Josh Gordon, the 15 targets, and I know he had that 74-yard play, but the 15 targets to 5 catches, I know, is not the ratio, the ideal ratio that you want to see. But because when you design a game plan. And by the way, it's not maybe all on him. I'll give some. Obviously, I'll put something on Jason Campbell for that. But you've got to incorporate. There's got to be more impact when so much of what you were trying to do in your passing game was geared toward number 12.
Okay, but he got 15 targets. He caught 5 for 125 yards and a touchdown.
74 on one play, yep.
Greg Little and Devon Best saw 12 targets and had 2 catches for 7 yards. That's unacceptable.
And that's
unacceptable.
Right, that's what didn't happen against Baltimore.
Well, that's why he's going to get double and triple covered.
Yeah, but they still have to. We know this in this league. Teams that have 4 receivers, and there's not many that have 4 great receivers. Denver would be about the only thing. When you have 2 guys, which is about the best you'd agree that most teams have, 2 real stud receivers and then supporting cast. Those 2 guys can't go multiple games without being as dominant as they were earlier. That's a problem. They've got to find ways. That has to be resolved via scheming, via quarterback, via the players themselves getting out. Whatever has to be dissected, something better has to happen. Cameron especially, but I'm not going to put it totally on him because those two work, those playmaking twins affect each other, right, with their play. So we just got to get back to where we saw, because where we weren't seeing the Little and Best stepping up earlier when it was just really the Josh and Jordan show, that happened in multiple games early on. That's the worm is turned on that, and I think a lot of it is because defenses, of course, studying this team say, yep, we can do stuff to take those guys away, and
well,
they
have. In 2 of the 3 games quarterbacked by Jason Campbell, it has been primarily about Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron. This week they would have combined for 154 out of 248 yards, so less than 100 were not Gordon and Cameron. The game in Kansas City, I think they had 213 out of the 290, so again, they dominated. The only game that they haven't dominated was, of course, the game against Baltimore. Gordon is the consistent one. They need another outside receiver. I don't think that if you want to talk about when you're looking at this Cleveland Browns team, you need another outside receiver. What they have going on in Chicago right now.
I wouldn't hate another tight end either, by the way.
What they have going on in Chicago right now is a situation where they've lost their quarterback, but they still have Alshon Jeffrey, and they still have Brandon Marshall to lean on. And I think that you need to get a running buddy, a Robin to Josh Gordon's Batman going forward here. Disappointing. It's a disappointing Monday to me because feel – and listen, I firmly believe in the path to victory I laid out, and if you just listen to the path to victory, they did that. They pressured Dalton. He made horrible turnovers. They got off the field on third downs, and they
– I'm looking at the map, though, on that path. It was missing. You didn't have that road in there that said overcoming disasters.
I didn't think right. That was
nor did I.
It was an apocalyptic performance on special teams and by
the
quarterback.
I'm disappointed and I'm cranky and I'm allowed to be cranky on this one. I'm allowed to because I'm not alone, right? I can be cranky.
Sure.
216-578-0850. It's a therapy Monday, so maybe you can help me as I try to help you get through this therapy Monday. 216-578-0850 to call us at Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I still love my partner here. His name is Nathan Segura. I'm Vic Carucci. He calls me Notorious. Now you're seeing why.
Dropping the hammer, Notorious.
At Browns_Daily is the Twitter account. We got Megan Rock in studio with us, and she's smiling and kind of keep it because I think I'd even be more cranky had she not been in here to kind of because now I'm actually keeping it under the radar. Rob Jedzinski, top of the hour round table coming up a little bit later. You'll hear from Doug Deacon and Tom Withers, Gerard Cherry, and we want to hear from you. ESPN 850. What's it? WKNR, is that the station?
That's what it is. Yes, sir.
I'm so distracted.